before I came to Eretz Yisrael, before I made Aliyah, I was warned about one issue that I would probably confront and encounter in the course of my living here. And at that time, since I was living in Chutz Haaretz, to be quite honest, I didn't take it so seriously. I took it with more than a few grains of salt. And that issue was termed kanos, zealotry, and the like. And after 22 years, Ken Yerbo, of being in Eretz Yisrael, I am engulfed, overwhelmed, encompassed, surrounded, besieged by kanos, Nikola Kibunim, from every perspective. And so it has become one of my topics, and certainly this week's Pasha lends itself to that, the discussion of that topic, and perhaps trying to attempt to formulate some of the contours of kanos in the ideal world, that is to say, the world of Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen. And first we'll begin with the psukim at the end of last week's Pasha, which really is connected to this week's Pasha as well. At the end of Balak and Perek Chafei, the Torah describes, we'll just make a few ha'aros, and then we'll address the issue of kanos from a number of perspectives, including some of the Rishonim and Achronim that I actually Zirak, that deal with the issue. Beginning of Perek Chafei, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, Vayochel Ha'om Viznos El Benos Moav. The language always in the Torah is very precise, and clearly Chazal have reconnected this to the Eitz of Bilam, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Chelek. That's what Rashi quotes immediately. And unquestionably, this was a conspiracy to attempt to undermine Klal Yisrael, to undermine the Gdusha of Am Yisrael. Vayochel Ha'om Viznos El Benos Moav. The term Vayochel in Tanakh in general has several translations. Here, Vayochel, just to give you a few examples where we find the language of Vayochel elsewhere, generally the word Vayochel, Oz Hu Chal Likro B'Shem Hashem, beginning of Bereshis, Rashi has a number of translations there as well, either with Lashon Chulin, or Vayochel is Lashon Haskola, probably that's what it means here, Vayochel Ha'om Liznos El Benos Moav. By the way, we should note the way the Torah describes the people, the language of And we mentioned already once before that the Ramban quotes in B'Shalach, Ramban has a famous medrash. Chazal points out that the nomenclature that's used for Klal Yisrael varies from, obviously, Inyan to Inyan. But the term Am is always a Lashon of Gnai. In general, in Tanakh, especially in the Torah, the term Am always has in it the pejorative element. And here, obviously, the term Am is used both in Pasuk Aleph and again in Pasuk Beis, as you can see, and then in Pasuk Dalid. So here already we have a kind of simen that clearly a portent of things to come, which is not of a very positive nature. The term Vayochel here apparently means they began. That's how many Rishonim interpreted. Liznos El Benos Moav. And then we have a number of verbs that already indicates that even though it would seem that Klal Yisrael were in a state of yeshiva, Vayeshiv Yisrael Bashitim, almost as if they had settled there. The term yeshiva in general refers to where people become settled, become ensconced in a particular area, but suddenly there's a dramatic change that takes place. And as Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, it's also Chazal and Medrash, that in general in Tanakh we find a organic connection between Avodah Zarah and Znus. Kimat, the major Nevi'im always make that connection, they connect the dots, and they always describe Avodah Zarah and Znus as taking place in pastoral kind of settings. And you find this many times in Tanakh. So right away here, Vatikrenu Ha'om, Lizibche Eloheim, Vayochal Ha'om, Vayishtachvul Eloheim. And before we even go further, it's almost as if it happened overnight, in a very quick and precipitous kind of way. Suddenly, a series of verbs, Vatikrenu, Lizibche, Vayochal, Vayishtachvul, these are elements of Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara described in Sanhedrin, Vayitzamad Yisrael Leval Por. What a language. The language of Hatzmadah, which has financial implications as well in modern Hebrew. But Vayitzamad Yisrael Leval Por, the way the Targum translates it, namely, Vayitzchaber Yisrael Leval Por. Val Por continues to be in Avodah Zarah, which is absolutely abominable. And the Gemara describes the big machlokes of Rishonim, exactly what it is, but Vayitzamad. So, and suddenly, overnight, here we thought there's going to be some pastoral kind of setting, tranquility, rural type of environment that's been created. No, suddenly we have literally a rather heinous crime of znus and avodah zarah, and with a chibur to it. And of course, Vayichar Hashem Yisrael, the Rambam Keseder and Chumash points out, especially in Aseret HaDibros, that Charon Af Hashem always comes to the fore in the context of avodah zarah. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, kach et kol rashi ha'am, v'okah osam Hashem neged ha'shamesh, v'yashov Charon Af Hashem Yisrael. The only way to abate, to somehow assuage the anger of Hashem Yisbarach, is by taking rashi ha'am, v'okah osam Hashem neged ha'shamesh. There's a big machlokes here among Chachmi Chazal, how to interpret the pshat in the pasuk. Kach es kol rashi ha'am, seemingly, take rashi ha'am, let's take the pshul shal mikra, take the rashi ha'am, v'okah osam Lashem neged hashamish. So whom are we referring to? Rashi ha'am. They should be the ones that should be subjected. They should be killed. Whoever is guilty, they should be killed. They should be punished. B'yashov charon af Hashem Yisrael. And then a moment later, Vayomer Moshe al shofet Yisrael, Hirgu ish anashav hanitzmadim lebaal pa'ar. What's happening? Is it Rashi ha'am? Is it Ish anoshav hanitzmadim lebaal pa'ar? I'm not discussing that issue, that is in the last week's parsha. But Rashi Zan Rishonim have a say here in terms of exactly what the Pshuta Shomikra is referring to. But that's not my interest right now. V'hine. So here we have already a state of behola, a state of terrible pandemonium of sort, I would say. And v'hine. The term v'hine, of course, means a language that the Rashbam points out at the beginning of Bereishis. V'hine means something which is unexpected, now suddenly occurs. V'hine, ish v'nei Yisrael ba. Suddenly, in the midst of all this turmoil, of all this whirlpool, of the tempest, suddenly, something else dramatic occurs. Something which is absolutely unexpected, almost unconscionable, and the Torah does not identify the personality involved. The language of the Torah is ish v'nei Yisrael ba. Vayakvei b'lecha v'tami gonis. And suddenly, he's consorting with the midyanis, l'enei meshe, l'enei kardasmanei Yisrael, in a very open kind of way, overtly. Le'enei Moshe, the Torah stresses, le'enei kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and they are absolutely bewildered. Ve'hem ha'boichin, Pesach ha'omoy. The Chazal say, Nis'alma mimenu halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha. Named the Mishnah Sanhedrin, kol ha'boi ala rames kanayin pogim bo. Moshe Rabbeinu was unaware of that halacha, and as a result, probably so, were in a state of unbelievable consternation and bechi. Rafu Yudehim. Rashi has a famous comment here. Rashi says, contrasting on the pasuk of Ehem Abochen, contrasting how Moshe Rabbeinu reacted to the Chet HaEgel, that Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to stand up against Shishim Ribo, and Moshe Rabbeinu ground the Egel at a Shadak, and here suddenly Rafu Yudehim, and Rashi says, what's the reason? Kidei Sheyava Pinchas V'yitol Asarah. Very striking Rashi that needs separate examination. Almost this cause and effect that we've been speaking about a number of times in Beit HaLevi. Here also it would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu b'kavana tchila, the Ribono Shel Olam somehow weakened his hand in order that Pinchas should emerge and as the Kanoi par excellence. So here we have a state of bewilderment, a state of confusion, a tremendous turmoil. Vayad Pinchas and also b'naran haklem, v'yakim mitocha egal, v'yikach lomach v'yado. And here we see the unbelievable decisiveness on the part of Pinchas. Vayar, he saw the situation. Vayokam, vayikach, vayobo, achayish Yisrael lakuba, vayikor shnehem, makes each Yisrael, yes, vayishol kovasot, means swift, decisive, precise action. The way Chazal, the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, and Rashi quotes it, that he told Moshe Rabbeinu, bro, maisem, and yiska alocha, karani dagar, tilav paranka. Moshe told him, you want to remember the din, you should be the one who executes it, who carries it out, who implements it, that's what he did. And as a result, the Torah says, v'tiyotar magifah, Mi'al b'nei Yisrael. Again, I just want to be medayik in the psukim, the way the Rishonim are medayik. Notice that v'tiyotar ha'magifah mi'al b'nei Yisrael, v'yu ha'meisim ha'magifah abav yesim b'alef. So here we have a contrast of number one, Pinchas, very decisive action, as opposed to Klal Yisrael, where there also, there was action that was in a, obviously another direction, in the wrong direction. We have a very striking contrast. Then the parsha of this week begins, v'yidav Hashem ha'moshe le'mar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron ha'kein, Heshiv is Chamasi mi'al b'nei Yisrael, Bikana was kinofi b'solcham. Lochili says b'nei Yisrael b'kinofi. So at the end of the previous parsha in Balak, the Torah indicates very clearly that how many people died in the Magetra? Abraham, Yisrael, Malak. And this week's parsha, the Torah says, Heishiv is chamofi b'abnei Yisrael. Bikana was kinofi b'solcham. Lochili says b'nei Yisrael b'kinofi. So one can simply learn that amongst B'nai Yisrael there were 24,000 people that were killed, that died in the Magefa, but they were not utterly destroyed, they were not utterly decimated. That would be one way of learning Pshat. However, Rishonim, Chazal point out that's not the case. If you take a look at Rabbeinu Bechai over here, he writes, and it's very midaik in the Psukim, he's bothered by a very simple question, which Rosh Hashanah are bothered by as well. It says, Heshim es chamasi mi'abnei Yisrael, who's able to assuage the anger of Hashem Yisbarach. In other words, basically, the chema should have been directed to call Yisrael, but Pinchas was able to somehow mitigate that anger. The Yesh Ladaktek Yesha ben Mekaye, Ve'ech lo holcha. He mitigated the anger. U'meisim Yisrael abov Yesim Melech. 24,000 people died. That's called mitigating the anger of Hashem Yisbarach. Abol zeh raya, he said, this is a proof to what I said earlier at the end of Parshas Balak, that Klal Yisrael were not affected. Whom was affected? Only one shevet. Shevet Shimon. That's what he writes. Shekulo hayu b'shevet Shimon. V'lo nifkar echa b'Yisrael b'shar ha-shvotim. V'zeo ha-shavah tachema b'shar Yisrael. And he's a dying in the Sukkim. Torah says, Tinkos et alozo b'na'an ha-klein. Hei shevet chamosi mi'al b'nei Yisrael. Correct? The Midas Hadin was not Kala B'nai Yisrael. And as the prophet continues, B'lo Chilisi as B'nai Yisrael B'kinofi. B'nai Yisrael were not touched, were not harmed. B'lo Chilisi says, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, Echa Yisrael. Nim says, what does it come out? Sha'ashava Tachema Gorma Kiyuman Shal Yisrael Sh'omoli Kiyuman you call it. If not for the action of Pinchas, God forbid, call yourself, B'nai Yisrael would have been, Rahman al-Mutfan, decimated. The Inkain says, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, Pinchas Gorm, Yisrael, Erech Yomim, Ushnei Schayim, Eishas Man, Asoif Ha'ilam. Pinchas was Gorim, he was the one responsible for our longevity, from then, Asoif Ha'ilam, V'eishim Hashonim, Eilam, Soif V'Taklis. V'lekach Zohar, Lichia Yisrael, Taklis, Midah, Keneged Midah. We'll discuss this momentarily. And as a result, Pinchas was also Zohar to longevity, and they, as Kayadua, the Zoyar, and the Ramban here, the Rabbeinu Bechai refers to that Zoyar, Pinchas Zel Yohu. Ki in Shama Adavi, the Navi already comments, a well-known comment, Brisi Hoysa Ito HaChayim Vashalom. It's a pick of the Beloza that Pinchas Zel Yohu, and Chazal indicate that he also appears at every Bris, El Yohu Malach HaBris, Amor Al Yeminu Samcheni. And the Rabbeinu Bechai goes on to explain the kano is kinosi. He says there were two acts of kanos that were performed by Pinchas. Pinchas Elio, one over here, and the other is during the days of Achav. Vinei Dvar Hashem Elav Ayamalav Malach Apoy Eliyahu Vayemek Kano Kinesi Lashem Elokei Svokos He also Brischa Bnei Yisrael the Pesukim Malach Amalav in Perkei Tet over there. So probably the double lot of Kano Kinesi refers to this double act of kanos on the part of Pinchas, and that's what the Rabbi Nechayim notes. Shtei, two acts of kanos, achas v'nei Moshe, v'yachas v'nei Achav, and then he goes on to call Psukim elsewhere in Shoftim, there the end of Sefer Shoftim, in the story of Pinchas Begiva, it says over there, Pinchas ben Alozo, nogid hoyo aleyem, v'ashem imo. V'dat chazal, ki Pinchas eliyo. How do we know in Chazal, exception of Pekadav Alazah, he has a famous Gemara at the end of Bamitziah. The Gemara has in Kufi Dalid the following story, a well-known story, which is the subject of a lot of halachic discussion among the Gdoli Rishonim. Ashkechei Baba Ba'abu al Eliyahu da'abukar beis hakvaros shel Akum. Rabbi Abua finds that Eliyahu Anavi in a beis hakvaros of non-Jews. He's in a cemetery. Amar, Rab Tanaat, aren't you a Kain? What are you doing in a cemetery? Kloima says Rabbeinu Bechayei, hoya tamei alav. Why isn't he careful regarding Tumas Oyel? So he responded, famous Chazal, Adam Tiyamas Ba'el, the Pasha Chukas, and Chazal say that Dr. Adam, Tiyamas Ba'el, Kolabor Ba'el, Vachashe Ba'el, Yid Vashivas Yomim. But someone who's not in the gather of Adam, namely Akum, are not mitami ba'ayel. Uksiv, the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar now quotes, another pasuk in Yechezkel, Perak Lamedalei, Ve'etein tzeini tzein ba'visi Adam atem. That you are the ones who are considered to be Adam. And he ends Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar by saying, L'kach matzino, she'nishtateach ha'ben ha'tzofit, ameit, v'shehoya ben goya. This is a chiddush gadol, but he says here this last line, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, that in Malachim Alev also, Perak Yudayim, there the Navi describes a rather fascinating description. Eliyahu HaNavi, as you know, was involved in a number of acts of Chias HaMesin. And here, that specific event, where by Yismegdid ala Yoled, he was Mishtateach ala Yeled, and he was able to revive the Ben HaTzorpis. But he writes, Shenishtateach al Ben HaTzorpis HaMesin. And to be Medayik, in the Lashon HaBen HaBachaye, Hishtateach alav, lo nogabo. Probably, that's what he means. Otherwise, he becomes Tomei, through Magon, because it's true that Kibra Yaakov and Amitami Ba'il, however, the Magon Master, Meis Akam is also Matami, that's what takes the right to Nozir, and that's what you see from the Rambam and Tumas Mes. So apparently that's the deal in the Rabbeinu Bechaye, Lachay Matinu Shenishtateach al Ben Atzof is Hameis, but then the last element is very difficult to understand, namely, Lefi Shehoya Ben Goya. Chazal say that Almona was the mother of Yehuda ben Amittai. The Radak quotes it right here, and that pasuk in Tanakh, Yushalmi. So that's somewhat difficult. What exactly he means over here, Ben Goya? Yonah Hanavi was a goy. He was the Gaya. It needs attention. Whatever the case, that's not my issue. And therefore, as a result of this, Lachen Emor Hidini Naisen Lo Brisi Shalom, the Torah goes on to say, Loisalo Zar Acher Bris Kuhunas Eilam. I just want to mention the famous Rashi, famous Chazal. Rashi on the spot right away says, what do you mean? That here Pinchos was given Bris Kuhunas Eilam, implying that it's not for this action, he would not have had Kuhunas, so it would not have been Kuhunas Eilam. How's that possible? Kuhunas was given to Aaron Lubanah. Aaron Lubanah only underwent Meshicha. B'shem and Amishra, all the Kohanim who were born subsequently, automatically are considered to be Kohanim. So all the Rishonim say that Pinchas was born before the Mashiach of Aaron Lubanah. And therefore, who's included, who's subsumed under the Kohen of Aaron Lubanah? Only those children who are born subsequently, after the Mashiach. Pinchas was born prior to the Mashiach. Therefore, lo niskahin, lo badach lal kohuna. He's not included in the kohuna. And as a result of this action that he did, that's what the pasuk says. That's the Gemara in Zvachim and Kupal. The Gemara points out, Rashi quotes it here, lo niskayin Pinchas asher harag lo Zimri. Before he killed Zimri, he did not become a Kohen. And so he was given bris kunas olam, and the Torah goes on to say the following series of sukkah. B'shem ish Yisrael amukeh. This is one of the many questions that Rishonim are troubled with. The word Ish is found here many, many times. The Shein Ish Yisrael HaMukeh. We don't identify him. You have a similar Pasha at the end of Emor, the Pasha of Megadis, the Pasha of Mekalel. There also the Pasuk says in Emor, Vayitzei ben Isha Yisraeli, Vuhu ben Ish Mitzri, B'toch ben Yisrael, Vayinasu b'machaneh, Isha Yisraeli, V'isha Yisraeli. Vayikov ben Isha Yisraeli Hashem, there also we have an unidentified, quote unquote, a UFO, unidentified flying object. Someone whose identity is not divulged by the Torah. Here also, they use the term Ish Yisrael several times. The Shein Ish Yisrael Hamukeh, Asher Hukas Avijanis, Zibri Ben Solo, the Sibes Sol Hashimoni. Now the Torah at the end in Pinchas, as opposed to identifying them at the end of Balak. He identifies it in Pinchas after the entire story unfolds. And here, there's a din, of course, in Mishnah and Yuma, just like Yom Yachis to Tzadik L'Shevach, Yom Yachis to Rosh L'Gnai, because someone who's plaguing himself is plaguing in Mishpachta as well, and he's deceased of Vashimoni. And Perek Geder Yishchenu Nochash. Shimon was the one who was concerned about Dina, about his sister, the Maisa Shechem, Hachzoyna Yates Achiseino. I'll get back to that a little bit later. And now here comes the descendant of Shevet Shimon, Uparit Geder Yishchenu Nochash. He's Parit Geder. And then we have Kazi Basur, of course, and that's how the Torah actually deals with this parsha. So there are a number of questions that could easily be asked that are very troubling. I don't think I'll have time to really resolve all the questions. My interest more is really to examine Kanos, to examine that whole phenomena. But one of the questions is, as I mentioned, why the person is called Ish, the Bnei Yisrael Bo. And also the language here at the end, B'shem Ish Yisrael HaMukeh Asher Hukas HaBidyonis. Chazal are very troubled by this language. The Nusach is almost impossible to understand. B'shem Ish Yisrael HaMukeh. What kind of language is this? HaMukeh Asher Hukah. I can't even translate it. HaMukeh Asher Hukah. We don't know who was the Makeh. It's in the said. Asher Hiko Pinchas. So Chazal say, because Pinchas, as a result of this action, as I mentioned, was Zolka Tiguna, the Torah does not want to mention Pinchas in the context of Shrikas Dhamma. And this is a general yisod that we see in many parshas with reference to Kohanim, that Kuhuna and Shrikas Dhamma is a steer of the obey. It's an oxymoron. Kohanim are supposed to bring life into the world. Kohanim are associated with Shalom. Aaron HaKohen, Oyev Shalom, Regev Shalom, Oyev Sabrius and the Kabbal HaTorah. So here, even though as a result of this act of Shrikas Dhamma, he was Matzah called Yisrael, and that would go in the Kuhuna Pinchas for Dori Deres, Abel Ikein, it's not mentioned in the context of Pinchas. Chazal, even in the next part, they got concerned. V'shem ha'isha ha'mukah, ha'midyonis. Why doesn't it say again? Asher hika Pinchas. For the same reason. Even though Pinchas is killing someone who's a Russia, so it's true that the action itself was absolutely indispensable. It was Hechrechi. He was Mekayim Rotten Abore. Karana Dagata, Iyu Levi Pavanka, Ubechalzov, it's a gnai to someone of the stature of Pinchas. That's why the language here is rather altered. The Torah was matir Pinchas to do what he did. But even though there's a heter, oy lekach, shehiganu lematzav kaseh. Woe is to us that we have to come to such a situation. Kolam mekayim nefesh achas v'yisrael, kilu kiyem olam molei. V'kolam abi nefesh achas v'yisrael, kilu ibeid olam molei. Hashchasas olam molei. We say in the Tzilov Ne'ilov, Yatza brachamecha harabim, rachim olam, kilu sachfet v'hashchasas olam. Hashem is brought, does not want, chas v'sholom, destruction of any human being. The bet raya to this yisod is the Rashi. Rashi in Shemayit points out, where the Torah tells us over there regarding the use of metallic implements on a Mizbeach. The Torah presents the Pasha Mizbeach, and there of course we have one of the famous Kashas of Yishonim at the end of Pasha Yisrael. Mizbach Adom HaTasali V'Savach Tolo V'Sol HaSech V'Shlomecha V'Seinucha V'Yaspikorecha Yishonim HaBad. Why is the Mizbeach presented here? It belongs in the psukim that relate to, the Torah has two pashas that are devoted to Klei HaKodesh, the Klei HaMishkan, one pasha, and it's a tzav, a big dikuna, so it belongs really in the pasha of Truma. What's it doing here? So here, I heard from my Rebbe, Nissan Alpha Zatzal, many times that he has a raya to the Shittas Rambam, makriv m'apri shem obayis, he has a machlokes about it, can you be makriv, even though there's no Mishamigdosh? And you see from this the fact that the Torah has not yet presented the Mishkan, which comes later on in Truma. And yeah, here we have already an introduction of the Mizbeach, which is just Derech Agav, I'm mentioning that. But that's not what I'm interested in. The Mizbeach Avonim Tatsili Losidne Ezen Gozis at the end of Yisrael, Ki Charbucha Inafto Oleh Abad Chaloleh. So Rashi quotes, Shah Mizbeach, the Mishnah Midos, Ha Mizbeach Nibra Laharich Yom Shel Odom. Mizbeach is created to give Arichus Yom, Vahabazov Nibra Lekatze Yom Shel Odom. And Barzel, any metallic implement, automatically brings to mind Achmanu Litzlan, bloodshed. Ein zebedin sheyunach on the katzel amarich. And further, Rashi says, Mizbeach is Matzu Shalom Ben Yisrael Abim Shma Shamayim. L'tichav ha-yobu olav kareis u-mechabel. Chas v'shalom, that no kareis u-mechabel should be associated with the Mizbeach. And if that's the case, so here also, apparently, that's the yesod that the Torah is trying to present to us. Namely, a kohen, his primary function is v'harif yom of shalodom, utilizing the mizbeach as the instrumentality for that. And therefore, it's not appropriate that the kohen should be remembered as being mekatze yom of shalodom. That's what the Torah here presented it the way it did, kanirah. And in general, that's what Chazal say with reference to Kabbalahs, that who should be Isaac in Kabbalahs Nazar and not a Kohen. The halach is the Rafu Avoides, that you have Shchitam, and then you have Kabbalah Sadam, Halacha Sadam, and Zika Sadam, and Shchitah is Kosher Bezar. Dafka. A Zar should be Isaac in Shchitah and not a Kohen, because at the end of the day, Shchitah Fahima is Netilas Neshama. It's not wrong for Kohen to be involved in that, because his entire function, his mother chaparanda, is Kiyam Ha'ibam, to sustain the world. And there are many riots to this yesod, but anyway, this is the reason why the Torah actually uses the nuskos that it does, and the language, as I said, is somewhat problematic. Now, I just wanted to discuss, as I said, the issue of kanos, but before I do that, we'll mention what Rashi here refers to at the beginning of Pinchas. Rashi tells us that the Rishvoku gave Pinchas kahuna. And of course, this is according to Mamyama, the Gemara, that the Gemara tells us that Pinchas niskayim la'acha shaharak Zimri, after he killed Zimri. The Gemara has another Mamyama, the Gemara Kufal Haveh in Zvon. The second Mamyama says that Pinchas did not become a kohen until the death of Yeshua. According to that Mamyama, what does it mean over here? Vahisalo ulazara acharav bris kuna tzaylon. So the answer is it's a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a bracha, avenged him with a bracha, that the kahuna should not at all, under no circumstances, should not undergo any kind of cessation, mizar of the olam. But the Maitre, according to that day in the Gemara, lo niskayin Pinchas did not become a kohen until the days of Yeshua. After Pinchas went ahead and was able to effect a rapprochement between the Shvatim, the Navi describes in the Sefer Yeshua, the Navi points out over there, at the end of Sefer Yeshua, I believe it's Perach Habdeis, the Navi describes how the two Shvatim, or the two and a half Shvatim, namely Bnei Gad, Bechatishe, Menashe, Bnei Ruben, they built the Mizbeach, Beglios Hayarden, in Perach Habdeis over there. And the Shvatim were choshedem. They thought they wanted to go ahead and build the Mizbeach Rabbanas Hashem Bimkom HaMizbeach Shev Mishkan. They wanted to replace the Mizbeach and the Mishkan. And therefore, as a result, they were ready to go to war against them. But before then, they decided to send Pinchas and send to see him to see exactly what was their intent in order to hopefully effect the sort of rapprochement and to try to effect a tikkun. And when they heard the hezber that the reason why they built the mizbeach was only an aid la'ois l'deiros, that was their interest to be made on Yeshu Eber Hayarden, they also have a chelak and nachas Hashem and the mizbeach and the mishkan. Means the pasuk there, I don't recall the exact pasuk. Lo yomu b'neichem, they should say that macha l'baneinu eilanu chelak ba, that we have no chelak somehow here whatsoever. Pinchas heard. And therefore, Vayita Be'enayim, he heard their tightness, and he was able to make shalom between the Shvatim. And as a result, that is the other day in Chazal, that's when Pinchas became a Kohen, and there it says very clearly, Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, it mentions over there in the Psukim. Tesis actually points out that even according to that day, that Pinchas was already a Kohen, yet he killed Zimri, but still there was a need to go ahead and lahalbisho ulemeshchai, to go ahead and anoint the Mishnah and Amishcha ulechankov, Michas Chinuch. And maybe, Teich suggests that maybe Klal Yisrael were not yet merutzeh. They weren't yet happy with him at that moment because he killed Anasi HaShevet, till he succeeded in effecting Shalom and Ashvatim. And as a result, that's when they became merutzeh to him, and they were malbishim, and they anointed him, and they were mechanichim. Whatever the case is, they apparently thought that he was a kanoi yosef midai. He was overly zealous. His zealotry went beyond the pale. And the kohen, as I mentioned earlier, has to be someone who's able to effect shalom between Yisrael, Aviv Shashamayim, We've seen the different elements in Klal Yisrael. Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom, Oyev Sabriyos, and the Kabbalah Atayah. And therefore, they're not merutzah that he was a Kohen. When they saw that he's some Shalom and Ashvatim, that he's able to effect peace among the Shvatim, so then they say he's not such a Kanoi, he's an Isha Shalom. And then they were masking, they can go ahead and become a Kohen. Priskarov asked Akasha, wasn't it sufficient, this is, I'm getting off on a tangent, wasn't it sufficient that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the prince is a Kohen? We need the Ratzon of Klal Yisrael, we need their acquiescence, we need their approval. So he answers based on the Rambam in the Perek Dalek Klei Amigdash Halacha Tezvov, that not only does the mean of the Kohen Gadol have to be Bebedin Shoshim Be'echad, that's the first Mishnah Tzaredin, that Bezim and Aleph, but even the Mashiach's Kohen Gadol has to be in Bebedin Shoshim Be'echad. And since Taisa says that Pinchas required Mashiach, even though he's a Kohen Hedja, therefore there was a need for a Ritzoy of Klal Yisrael. Because the fact that Mashiach's Kohen Gadol has to be in Bebedin of Ayin Aleph, because the Kohen Gadol has to be Nimshach Al Yidei Klal Yisrael. His anointing has to take place with the approval of Klal Yisrael. Sanhedrin, I consider to be the Shulchan of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Mashiach's Pinchas had to have the Ritzoy of Klal Yisrael, the Ritzoy of Sanhedrin, and therefore, that is exactly how Biskarov understands that element, even though Hashem is Bachus Kovea, that Pinchas is the Kohen. Okay. So, I should also mention that Rashi brings actually, in the Pasha after this, in the Pasha of Matos, Rashi, in Perek Lamed Aleph here, Pasuk Vav, Rashi quotes that when Moshe sent the Lachim ben Midyan, Pinchas was Mashiach Mechama. He was Mashiach Mechama. He went with them to Lachim ben Midyan. So according to the Man Yomar, who said that Pinchas was Yiskayim, at Shesrom Shalom and Ashvatim, so this is very difficult. Mashiach Mechama has to be a Kohen. Psukim and Dvarim, in Perek Chof, the Torah says very clearly, you have to be a Kohen. So how could they appoint Pinchas and Ashuach Muhammad before he became a Kohen? So Rashi obviously holds like the Man Yomar, she Pinchas is Kohen, Mishar Gazimri. That happens to be Shitas Rashi. But according to Man Yomar, who says that Pinchas became a Kohen only when he effected Shalom between the Shvatim, so how is he appointed as Ashuach Muhammad? So you take a look in the Daskin Balei Atosfos, he has this Kasha. And the Daskin points out that as a Kohen who does the Abad in the Mishkan, that he would not become Pinchas. But the Mashiach Mechama, he was Matim, there you need a Kanoi. That's why, Limshoach, the Mashiach Mechama, they were masking Pinchas should be the Kohen. Only should not be a Kohen who does Abad in the Almayed. That they were not masking. Till when? Till he effected Shalom and Ashvatim. That's what Daskin about the Atosis, Tzvei Dinim. That's what he points out. Okay, so I'm now going on to Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar that I began with earlier. That is the notion that Pinchas Zel Yohu, as I mentioned before, and this Yesod, which is a Pirkei of Elazar, Rashi quotes it about Mitzia, on Kuf Yudalid, on the days. Targum Yerushan actually quotes it in Shemais, in Perek Vav Pasuk Yitches. This idea that Pinchas Zel Yohu, we know that Yohu is the Kani Kinesh Hashem Tzvokos. These are the psukim in Tanakh that we are familiar with, the Haftarah. So I assume, since we're mechuyet to hear the Haftarah every word, says Mishnah Berurah, so we're familiar with that. So Yo actually is Mekani Bahar HaKarmel. This is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudches. He kills Nevi Abal, he's zochet to bring down Eshman HaShamayim. Everyone sees how the Esh devoured the Kavanos, the Mizbeach, whatever was there. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and afterwards he stands before him on Har Sinai where Moshe Rabbeinu stood, and Hashem asked him, by the way, this is the Haftarah of Pashas Pinchas, that's the obvious connection. Hashem asked him, Malach HaPor Elio, and he answers, Kanoi Kinesi Hashem Elokei Tzvokos. Hashem asked him twice, and twice he answered the same answer, and then Hashem tells him, Lech Shuv L'Darkeh L'Adjecha V'yez Elisha Ben Shava Me'Avon L'Chola Timshach L'Navi Taktecha. You can no longer be a Navi. Why? Because you are a Mekane. You're a Kanoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then takes Elio from this world, and as we know, he ascends HaShamayma Berechav Esh, Besusei Esh, and Elisha becomes the Mamali Mokom of Elio HaNavi. Despite the Kiddush Hashem that was effected, Hashem is not happy with the role of Elio HaNavi as a Kanoi. Chazal say further, because he said, Ki ozu brizcha b'nei Yisrael. Here, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yitesh, Pasuk Yud. So, Amalakur is Baruch, the Tikkat of Allah says, Chayecha she'nesim bris mila, she'ata ro be'inecha. He's mechuyev to come to every bris. And to make sure, he'll testify that we didn't desert or abandon the bris of Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, we are mekayim the mitzvah bris mila, al yom hazeh, but Hashem Yisbarach contended, al yo anavi, yese midai kanori. His zealotry has exceeded the parameters, the bounds of Kanoz, despite the fact that the Shvatim were masking from the time he became a Kohen when he affected Shalom and Ashvatim. If you assume the Pinchas Eliyahu, so here Hashem Yisbarach decided that no longer can he be the Navi for Klal Yisrael because of the Kanoz that exceeded the bounds. There's another Raya to this, which is everyone brings this Raya again from Tanakh with reference to Yiftach. This is a well-known discussion that the Rishonim bring over there on the spot, the Radak and others, that Yiftach takes a neder before he goes out to battle, Sukkim and Shekhti, Perak Yid Aleph, before he goes out to battle against Bnei Ammon, and then he said, of course, V'hoi ha-yetze, asher yetze midalte beisi v'krosi b'shuvi b'shalom Bnei Ammon, v'yal Hashem v'alisiu oyla, after the Mechama, v'yalo Yiftach ha-mitzvah beisi, v'hine vito yotze, v'krosko b'stupi mubim chayvas. And when he sees her, he tears his garments. Vayikras begodah, vayomer aho biti, hachrea hichratoni, vat hoyis beochroi, vanochi patsisi piel Hashem, vlochaloshuv. So, but the less brera, what happens over there? Yiftach offers her as a korban eila. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch points out the halacha that a shua to kill someone is a shua shav. It's not kal bichlal. But he mistakenly thought that since it says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Kol Cherem Ashiyacham in Adam, Lo Yipad Emos Yumos, and the Rabban explains over there that any Melech Yisrael or Sanhedrin that has Rishus Ben Mishpatim, if they're Machim Ha'ivra Alam Chayanisa, he thought that therefore that also is relevant to him. And since he took a neder based on Melchama to go offer the carbon because the neder is Chal, and the Mela, he thought he had to go and be Makiv his daughter as an Eila. The Ramban is the one who explicates this right over there on the spot. But so there was an error. The error was he did realize that this Cherem of the Melech Sanhedrin, or the Ramban writes, is Chal al Hamordin, or someone who's over the Gzera of Chazal, but to go and take a neder to make an Ola from something that's not Royal Hashem, Chatz v'Chalila, so Ramban himself. I'm just saying over the Ramban at the end of the parasha over there. And those had Yiftach taken a gzera that no one will leave the threshold of my house, and his daughter left the threshold, then she would be chayim Isa. She's over the gzera sabara. He didn't say that. He wasn't go there and Isa. He took a neder. Whoever leaves the doors of my house will be a korban. That is not within his purview. That's not something that he has the samchut. He doesn't have the authority to go ahead and do that. The neder is not chal. But still. And this is the issue that Rishonim raised, it's a Tanchuma, and the Radak, and all the Rishonim right away are on top of it. So I'm just citing them. Namely, even if Yiftach thought that the neder is mechayev him to shecht his daughters in Ola, he never heard about Hataras Nazar. Why didn't he ask? He should have been Shoyal Amidro. So the daughter of Yiftach went to the Sanhedrin, and she asked them, could you find a Pesach for the neder? Sanhedrin could not find a Pesach, say in Chazal. But still, he should have gone higher, to the higher authority, to the Gol Ador. Who's the Gol Ador? Pinchas. The grandson of Aaron HaKohen, the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was an older man, he must have been, I assume, over 130 years old at that point in time. Not 130, 300 years old. More than 300 years old at that time, after the Nekka Cheshvin over there, but he was still living. Yitzchak should have gone to Pinchas. Why not? Say the Chazal, Omer Yiftach. Ani Melech, Veitzel like Pinchas. I, the king, I'm gonna go down to my lofty perch and go to Pinchas. It will be a pegiya, the kavod of Malchus. Let Pinchas come to me. And this is a halakhic issue which the Rambam discussed with Malachim. Who should come to whom? Vavnei Alos Hakayin Yamal, B'shalom B'mishpat Ha'ur, Vavnei Hashem Apli Yetsu Apli Yavo. This week's parsha, Pinchas. That everyone comes to the king. B'chalei Sheyirtzah, read Lashon Rambam in Perek. So Mina Din Gitov should have gone to Pinchas, he was the Kohen Gadol, and not Pum Faker. Apparently he got that aloha. However, Chazal said, Radak quotes it, and Pinchas is also a Taina. Pinchas knew about the Nedra of Yitzchak. Oh, because they told him he's a Navi. So why didn't you go to Yitzchak to your Matzal Nevesh of Israel? So of course, he's the Kohen Gadol. The Melech has to come to the Kohen Gadol. Chutz mizeh, Pinchas is much older than Yitzchak. He's over 300 years old. And he is the Cheshbin. From the Milchama Sichal that took place in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the Milchama Yiftach, 300 years passed. It's a Sheikh Temperik, Yad Al Pasuk Avot. So over 300 years passed. So Pinchas is an older man, several hundred years older than Yiftach. Plus, he's a bigger Talmud Chacham. He was likely to be Mishavish Moshe Rabbeinu. So Pinchas sees a Pigia Bechvera Teva, Bechvera Devua, Bechvera Kahuna. He should go to Yiftach. But in the meanwhile, there is a daughter of Yiftach that's caught betwixt and between. So why isn't he Meichel? Pikuach Nevesh is not Zeichel, all these. So Chazal say, just the Lashon of Nevesh, but Bein Dein Ledein, Bein Zeh Lezeh, Ovda Narayi, Ushneim, Nenshu B'damea. Chazal say Yiftach died, that literally, his Evarim were dismembered from his body. Neshilas Evarim. Everywhere he went, they buried another Ever. Chazal, Amadayik from the Lashon of the Pasuk in Shevtim, Vayomas Yitzchak ad Gilad, Vayikavi Ba'ari Gilad. Doesn't say Be'ir Gilad, Ba'ari Gilad. Why? Say Chazal, Nispaze Gufo, V'nikma V'kama V'komos. It was a Midah Keneged Midah. Because he was not Matzil, the daughter of Yitzchak, but rather she was brought up as a Kavan Eila, as it says, with the Kavan Eila, V'nitach Oysa V'insacheha, Pesuk in the beginning of Ayikra. And Pinchas lost Ruach HaKedesh, Chazal, he was punished as well, also Midah Keneged Midah, because the Navi who loses Nevuah, Kashelo Kemisa. Of course, you have to assume, if Pinchas is Eliyahu, the Nevuah was restored to him, somehow subsequently. But for hundreds of years, he lost Ruach HaKedesh. And even though Chazal say Yiftach b'derech Shmuel b'derech, Zaskam b'vakam Pinchas, but still Chazal tell us that the Shikulim of Yiftach and Pinchas were inappropriate. So if Pinchas Zelio, perhaps this event of Bas Yiftach is the Achra that Hashem told Elio, you are Mekane Yesim Edai. You're too much of a Kanoi. His kavana was to be Mekane Lechora Kahuna, Lechora Navua, not Lechora Atzmo, but B'chol Zolf, Chazal somehow said you should be Mevater to save the Bas Yiftach, and maybe that's the reason why, just I heard from Arabeim, perhaps that's the reason why that he was not Matim anymore to be a Navi. But the Mechanei Meshutaf here in all these situations is that Kanos, which over exceeds the bounds, is inappropriate. There have to be boundaries. A person has to be a merachim al abriyos. A person has to have forbearance. Has to be a savlon. It's true that sometimes we need the meat of kanos, as in the case of Zimri in this week's parsha. But to go b'shita, b'del shel kanos, Hashem Yisbarach is not maskin. And even if Hashem Yisbarach was maskin to Elio, you are sure to be makriv on the bamos, b'shat Yisrael bamos, as the Gemara points out in the bamos. However, and Eish came down in Hashemayim, but in this situation, Hashem Yisbarach felt that he's a Kanoi Yesimidai. A Kanoi Yesimidai, therefore, as a result, he's no longer Roi to be a Navi. In other words, let's just perhaps refer to a Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish writes, when the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, Rambam has the concept of Tino Shenishba, that someone who was not reared in a atmosphere, an environment of Shemitah Torah and Mitzvahs, the Rishayim and the Kaifim of Doreno, they exactly, that Din of the Rambam is applicable to them. That has our Chazon Ish rights. Chazon Ish says that today we don't have the Din of Marid and Malin, and the Din of other Dinim that apply normally to Kaifim and Rishayim don't apply, because Today we are surrounded by Tinnaga Shenishma. People simply, unfortunately, are ignoramuses, don't have any knowledge of what the Torah is all about. As a result, make the statements that they do and behave the way they do. The mitzvah is to be mekarev of them and not to hate them, because only by a rush of gomer is their din of halacha is Allah, as long as you don't give them to chokha. And since the Gemara says in Erechim that B'dor Shalanu, we don't have anyone who knows how to give to chokha the proper kind of way, so it comes out that even the Rishonim of our door are always in a matzav of the Netzach chokha. And therefore, also the Sonom, and this is written by the Chazanish and Ebn Ezer, Sim Kuf Yud Ches, Sipkot and Rav, and we're looking it up, and it's also found the Abbas Ches of the Chavetz Chaim, and many poskim say this la'alocha, the Abbas Ches of the Chavetz Chaim, it's in the Maganisa Tov at the end of the Sefer, Ois Yayin. And the Chazanish, it's Ebn Ezer, Sim Kuf Yud Ches, Sipkot and Rav, and therefore we view them like Anusim, and not Mezidim, that's what the Chazanish actually writes, la'alocha. I read the Lashon of the Chazanish, also in Yerodea, Simon Bey Sivkat and Tezayim, and the din of Moridim Lamalit. He said, "Bizmanenu, this din is not Shayach. Ki bizmanenu ein b'maiseh ha-horoda geder ha-pirtza, elo ha-istavas ha-pirtza. If we are married then, it will just increase the breach. Sheyu b'yeneyem, the act of horoda will be in their eyes, ki maiseh ha-shchata ve'alamut chas v'sholom. V'keivan shekol atzmenu l'sakein, ein ha-din noig b'shosh ein motikun." And the chura that the Chazanish is saying applies as well to Kanoi Shebedareinu. I heard from Agoin Rav Nevinsol Shlita a number of times, years ago I heard this from him. He said there were two brothers in Yerushalayim that both of them were Talmidei Chachamim. But one of them was a bigger Kanoi than the other. They both were Kanoi, but one was even a bigger Kanoi than the first one. So once the second brother was not such a Kanoi, he said, "What's the difference between myself and my brother?" So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that any city that has even one mezuzah cannot become an Iron Nidachas. If there's an Iron Nidachas and that city has one mezuzah, you don't burn the city down. The Pasuk says that Sarata Sa'ish Kolil, Vashem Elokecha. That's the din, the ownership applies to an Iron Nidachas. But if there's one mezuzah, then it does not become an Iron Nidachas. So that brother said, there's one distinction between myself and my brother. And that is, that if we would hear this Iron Nidachas, I could be run there to put up a mezuzah. In order that the city should not be burned down, my brother would run and take off the mezuzah, uproot the mezuzah, in order to burn the city down. So both of them are operating up here. But one is Bikanos, Mushlemes, and the other one is a bit more forbearance that he brings to bear. The truth is, when I heard that from Rav Sol Shlita, so I told him that probably he was obviously aware of it. I'm not telling him any chidushim, since he knows Kol HaZera Kula. So there's a very, probably even more well-known statement that's described, I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik a number of times, that's described actually to Rav Chaim Briska, which I think is the same you saw, the same idea really, that Rav Chaim Briska also, I actually took it from my notes that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. I'll just share with you two things actually. One is the Rav Chaim, which is very famous, that Rav Chaim said the sinner that one should have for a Rasha, said Rav Chaim, should be like the sinner of a Balas Habayis for Achborim, for mice. She's mitzvah over the fact that there are mice, there are rodents in her home. But it should not be the sinner towards the Shoyim like that of a cat. He wants the mice. He wants them to be around in order that he should pulverize them and destroy them. Similarly, you saw that Rav Nevinsol said. And this is what he said over from Rav Chaim Briska. I actually saw something which was, I thought, even if I brought it with me. Perhaps not. I want to misquote. I saw this and I heard this from many, many years ago from Chaim Zaitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In 1971-72, I used to go with my brother Shlita, Baron David, to hear the Shmuzin on Friday night of Chaim Zaitchik. He went for many years, my brother. Chaim Zaitchik was a Nevadika. He learned the Chavrusa, Rabbi Kusiel Fuchs, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he brings a Maisa. I don't know what the mocker for this Maisa is, but he quoted it then. Well, years later I saw in his forum, Free Horace. Of course, the Maisa of the Ramban. The Ramban sent somebody Lahatviya Maisa B'Toy Chanor. Someone has a Maisa. So the Ramban felt that that person has to be addressed. B'Soy V'Shol Dovar. The shliach who went to be the kind of shliach of the Ramban himself nitva, he himself drowned. After the Ramban, what? He went to be the kind of shlichus, and he himself became the kova. So the Ramban answered, "This is what Rav Zaitchik Zatzal quotes in the Sefer Pri Haaretz. I heard it myself from him, because that person was nene had hanor from the shlichus, because of the hanor that he had from the shlichus." He was punished by Hashemayim. And that's the halacha. The smart quote from Chasham Mishra, maybe I'll mention in a moment. In the din of Habor, Aram is Kanoi and Pimbo. Only if my kabbalah is the Shem Shamayim, do I have the right to go ahead and kill him. The smart writes it very clearly and very explicitly. I actually xeroxed the lashon of the smart. First, the Ramah says in Chasham Mishra, I'll read the Ramah, Tophafei, Sif Dalin. Someone who lives with a non-Jewish woman publicly in front of 10 Jews, Kanoim Pogimbo, Mutan Lahargo. Says the Sman, Sidkot Yugimo, Kanoim Pogimbo, Lashon Atur, Misha Mekane Lashem, Yochel Lahargo. Apparently, he's coming to explain the Ramah that not everyone is allowed to be Pogia, not every Kanoi, only Misha Mekane Lashem, Yochel Lahargo. The whole heter is the person is Mekani L'Shem Shamayim. Otherwise there's no heter Lishmak Dam Kaderom. There's a famous tshuva of Rabbi Feinstein, the Igris Moshe Eben HaEzer Chelek Aleph Simen Lam L'Ches. He writes to his son-in-law the following: Eben HaEzer Chelek Aleph Simen Lam L'Ches Hinei Vadai Ha'emes Kasher Kasavta B'Shem Agoy V'Shom Ha'imen Zatzal. What you said is correct. In the name of Shom Ha'imen Shalohut Azeh El L'Kanoyim. The heter is only for kadoyim. Shehuki the pirush Rashi misalhedin that peyalef bnei adam ksherim hamiskanim kinosel shomokoyim. Amoshe refers to that Rashi. Bnei adam ksherim hamiskanim kinosel shomokoyim. And then he writes Amoshe Zatzal v'imu lekavon acheres hareinu kanoi v'lo hutalo. There's any other kavon that add mixture over here? He's not a kanoi. There's no heter. Ulmele who rotech mamish. He's called a Rotzeach. He's not considered to be a Kanoi as a Din Rotzeach. So here we see that Kanos is something which is very, very delicate and has to be handled with tremendous delicacy. Of course, we know that in the days of Matisyahu, that Chashmonoi, when that Syrian Greek wanting Makav a Korban to a Pesel, Matisyahu killed him, and that's when the entire war began with the Syrian Greeks. The Kanois was Matzliach, Masarta, Giborim Yad Kaloshim, Briabim Yad Maatim, Utsmeim Yad Taherim. But we know what happened subsequently after the marriage of the Chashmonoim, that the Bnei Chashmonoim rebelled against the Romans, and then there were more rebellions till the merit of the Churban, the merit of Bar Kokhba. They were not Matzliach. They weren't told to the Shem Shamayim, whether they were for nationalistic reasons or other kind of reasons. One engages in Kanos, which is not told to the Shem Shamayim, Bachlan Litzlan, that could be disastrous. As I said at the very beginning of my words, we're surrounded in this country, unfortunately, by all types of Kanoim. There's a notion here that they call Tag Mechir, tit for tat, a notion which is absolutely unconscionable. allegedly we were accused of literally someone who obviously was deranged, took an Arab young man and burnt him to death. Absolutely unconscionable behavior, which is to be totally condemned from beginning to end. Stam to take another human being and kill them, Rahman al-Islam, even if they feel a justification. And here I could relate many, many, literally almost ain't so stories in the course of the last number of years that I've been here, how one could behave in such a fashion, Rahman al-Islam. We are Rahmanin Basham Gun Khasadin. How in heaven's name? Of course, it doesn't mean there should be justice, of course there should be justice, but this is certainly Lozu Aderach. Someone saw an Arab walking on the street, went over to him and smacked him for no reason whatsoever. What kind of behavior is this? Yes, Oyvei Hashem are worthy of the Kama. Those who kill, those who name, those who engage in terror, unquestionably. But this type of behavior, Rabbi Tzinsarna, Zechenu Livracha, the Rebbe to the Rabbi Cheskel son of the Shiv in Hebron. So she lived under the German occupation, and she saw Germans maltreating other Jews, and she said, Baruch Hashem, that I am from the nation of Nirdofim and not among the nation of Rodfim. To go and maltreat others and to dehumanize them and delegitimize them and physically and psychologically torture them, thank God I'm not from that nation. Thank God I'm from the Nidofim. She was actually together with Avachana Vassanin, the Chatzad Divracha, was killed in Kiddush Hashem with other Jews, but she didn't want to be among the Nidofim, among the Reitzim Chas V'Shalom, but rather among the Nidofim. So here, one has to be, as I said, exceptionally careful with reference to Kanoos and the like. Now I want to focus on another question which also is asked by Mefarshim, and that is here, Rashi mentions that it was all a plan on the part of Hashem Yisbarach that Pinchas should carry out the Kanoos. But the question really is, and this is an obvious question, the Pasuk says, the Kanoos kinosi b'seicha, Moshe Rabbeinu, he should have been the one to be the Kanoos kinos Hashem. So Chazal say, a famous Rashi quotes it, that when Zimri consorted with the Midianis, he came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Ben Amram, Zu Asura Muteres. Is she permitted or is she not permitted? In time Asura, if you tell me that she's also Bat Yisro Mehitir Allah. Who is Matzah to you, Bat Yisro? Of course, the answer to this question is fairly obvious. There's a distinction between Man Teira and Rachman Teira. That's the Pashim Shah. And Zimri did what he did after Man Teira. Moshe Rabbeinu married his wife before Man Teira. The whole Kasha doesn't begin. And the Chlal, how do you compare the two? She was the Tadegis, this one's the Rasha. This is the Gieris, this is the Goya. But this Chutzpah the Geshayla that was asked by Zimri is apparently what caused Moshe Rabbeinu not to be the Kani Kiras Hashem. And that's why he himself did not become involved in the killing of Zimri, because he was choshesh, perhaps. If he were to kill Zimri himself, it would not be totally l'shem shamayim. Maybe there was the element of personal negia because of the humiliation that Zimri caused him. And since the halacha is the only someone who's mekane kinas Hashem tahira is allowed to be pagia b'vayel aramis, and not someone who does it because of all kinds of personal cheshbonos, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, Sheva al Tase, I can't get involved. Pinchas, of course, does not make any cheshbonos. It's true that the taina of Zimri against Moshe Rabbeinu is also relevant to Pinchas, because Pinchas is, as Rashi quotes, B'nei She'alaza, She'lokach B'nei Putiel, Chazal say Putiel is Yisrael. And Rashi quotes here in Bamidbar Perachotei, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Harisim ben Puti Zeh, She'pitei Rabbi Imo Agol Rabbi Nezara, V'harag Nosi Sheva Mi'Yisrael, Ubechazos, Pinchas was Misgaber, and didn't care what they said about him. He operates Hashem Shamayim, and as a result, Hashem himself testifies, Vikanoi Eskinosi B'Soichom. That's the mail of Pinchas, and apparently it's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not get involved. In general, we know that with reference to other mitzvahs, if a person has a machshava she'ol l'shma and a ma'isa mitzvah, it's not so chomor. A person has to eat matzah b'leil ha'seder, b'erev tekel matzos, matzah requires l'shma, l'shem mitzvah. Let's say a person likes matzah and eats the matzah in order to satiate his appetite. Of course, I'll say a person should eat matzah l'tei avav, v'ashvam, and avim sochim. And by other mitzvahs as well. So if a person has a bit of a machshava, a shor lishma, it's not the end of the world when it comes to kiyama mitzvahs. However, when it comes to killing a person, other Yisrael, even when it's a mitzvah, kadoyim pogimbo, has to be 1000% of Shem Shavai without any admixture of any other kabbana. Chazal of the same discussion, Gemara Yevamos, Alamed Tes, with reference to Hakeinis is Yivinto, L'shem Noi, L'shem Ishus, L'shem Dava Acher. So there's one opinion there, Abba Shol, Ki L'pogia Be'erva, the Korv Ani Be'enai, V'yir Tavlad Mamzer. Chacham say no, Yivamo Yavo Alea, Mikol Mekol. I mean, the mitzvah of Yibam, Amikayim, whether I'm Hakeinis, L'shem Ishus, or L'shem Noi. But the Peskin, the Ashkenazic Peskin anyway, Achoshesh for the Da'at of Abba Shol. And that's why the Rambam writes to Emunah Ezra, Siman Kuf Samach Hey, Sif Aleph, Ashkenazim are not noyeg liyabim. The Asfarim Ari Yom Hazeh who perform the mitzvah of Yibum, Ashkenazim Bechlal do not perform the mitzvah of Yibum. The question is, what does Abba Shol mean? Does he mean that the oven has to be mechavim l'shem mitzvah only? Let's say he's mechavim for two kabbalas, l'shem mitzvah and l'shem noy. Is that called pogia be'erva? Or no, only if he's mechavim l'shem noy. Is he called Pogia Be'erva? But if it's Mechavim L'Shem Mitzvah, then we assume that obviously he's able to escape that notion of being Pogia Be'erva. Whatever the case is, the Machlokes among the Mefarshim. But as I said, here, when it comes to this particular issue, namely, killing another Jew, Rachman Litzvan, Kanoim Pogimbo, it has to be 1000% Kabbana, which is L'Shem Shamayim. And if it's not 1000% Kabbana L'Shem Shamayim, it's Lo Beseder. Now I want to mention a diuk, just even though this needs a lot more discussion, but going back, Seder. So, Tzav Bali Chayim. I want to examine several scenarios of Kanos. Let's start with the episode of Shimon Velevi in Shechem. You don't encounter at first glance any attempt on the part of Shimon Velevi to engage in any kind of hasbara, to explain to the populace of the city of Shechem the enormity of their actions, or to effect some sort of what they call here today a sulcha, a rapprochement, as is in vogue in the Middle East. They simply took a sword and essentially decided to go ahead and paskin that the entire city is worthy of the death penalty, and it decimated the entire city. What was the response of Yaakov Avinu? So Yaakov Avinu said, he told them, and the language of the pasuk is very mediyok. Vayomer in perek lamedala pasuk lamed. Vayomer Yaakov al Shimon ve'alevi achartem oitzi lahavisheni b'yeshiv aretz baknani v'aprizi v'ani misay nispo v'nesu alai v'ikuni v'nishmati adi v'esri. They will overwhelm us. Their numbers are just simply insurmountable. As a result of what you did, they're going to gang up on me. Lahavisheni. Yes, a shore that falls into a bore, and mavish esamayim betoch habor, lahavisheni b'yeshiv haoretz. And what's their response? Vayemru hachzeino yaseh sachiseinu. So Yaakov Avinu responded, "You sullied me, and the hordes will encompass me and destroy me." He doesn't react with indignation to the act that they did and the ethical problematica involved in the action. He indicates that logically it was not an expedient move. His numbers are Lilliputian, vis-a-vis the non-Jewish nations. And the Torah says that only because of the Ashgach of Hashem, Vayichitas Elokim, below Rotrach, Rebbe Yaakov. The fear of Hashem descended upon the denizens. And if not for that, that inhibited them from attacking Yaakov and his family. But if not for that, Rachman al-Litzlan, Yaakov Avinu and his family would have been engulfed. Of course, the two brothers, Shimon and Levi, issue a rejoinder that Lahabdil Me'avavi Abdullah seems to be endemic to the Middle East mindset. Hachzeino, Yaseh, Tachoseino. What is known here as, it's not the same Yisod, undoubtedly, violating family dignity and honor. So they're focused on this principle of family dignity. Hachzeino, Yaseh, Tachoseino. But the Torah says, if not for Chitas Elokim, for divine intervention, they would have pulverized the house of Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because no matter what rationale we present, they'll find a chink in the armor. The United Nations will universally condemn us. They'll impose sanctions upon us. Boycott, divestment will be practiced on us to prevent Jewish juggernaut from rearing its ugly head. Of course, Baruch Hashem, to our mazel, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam somehow will cast a veto in the United Nations on the part of the U.S. or some other friendly nation, and this scenario will be impeded. And of course, other times we'll be given a scathing Musa Shmuz. But when you examine the parsha, the trenchant argument of Shimon Levi is very loud and clear. Hachzeino Yaseh Zachoseino. Yaakov does not respond. Yaakov's quiescent. Why doesn't Yaakov respond to their argument? Their emphatic, unconditional statement. Prima facie, is acquiescence. However, in Parshas Vayechi, many years later, Yaakov not only reacts to the danger that they engendered, but condemns the very act itself. Shimon v'levi yachin plechamot v'cheroseim, says Rashi, umnuzo shavitzicho chamasti v'yedchem. That their handiwork borders on murder. It's an act of chamas. We know about that. Outright mayhem. That's the craft of Esav HaRasha. You arrogated for yourself the modus operandi of Esav HaRasha. And Yaakov is their anger. What's striking is that Reuven was critiqued for his impetuosity, pachas kamayim al tzeisav, and was punished with the loss of the tripartite crown of Bechira, Kehuna, and Malchus, in sharp contradistinction as Levi. He's chosen to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and from his loins emerge Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Miriam and Aviah, the leadership of Klal Yisrael. How can we countenance that Levi, despite his reprimand, is elevated beyond all the tribes? The Rambam even writes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he became the Rosh Hashiva in Mitzrayim. Says one ineluctable conclusion, Maskona Amit Bakeshet, that even though Kanoros is zealotry is a character trait that's volatile, Yaakov found an appropriate channel. Achalke mi Yaakov, v'afitzem mi Yisrael. I will isolate Shimon from Levi, they'll become mechanchim, Jewish educators. I've never saw Shlita compare the dispersal of Shimon and Levi to the use of salt in a culinary dish. If the salt is concentrated in one spot, it will spoil the taste of the dish. If you spread it out, it will enhance the flavor and cuisine of the dish. So separating of Shimon and Levi will weaken their combined sense of zealotry. On the other hand, there is a concept of individual kanoros that can still come to the fore. And this idea of Shevet Levi comes to the fore in many venues. Moshe Rabbeinu, let's start with him, the beginning of Shmos, the grandson of Levi, he witnesses an Egyptian, Vayar Ish Mitzri, Maka Ish Ibri Me'echov, beating a fellow Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu does not utilize the protection that he has in the palace of the king. He kills the Egyptian on the spot. And this zealousness on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu arouses the ire of Paro, of the reigning potentate, and despite the sakonas of Pashas inherent in his action, he has to become a fugitive to Midian, but he felt that this act of kanois was in order. Two, Moshe Rabbeinu was gripped by a sense of moral outrage. He rescues the daughters of Yisrael from the oppressive Royim. Vayagoshum, Vayashketzeinom. And these two events may have been the backdrop and basis for his upward trajectory to become the leader, ultimately, of Klal Yisrael. Three, Sheir Levi, in the wake of the Cheder Egel, Mila Shem Eloi. And right away, they go into action, leap into action. But of course, the one which is the, at the mainstream, is that which we read in this week's Kasha, with reference to Pinchas. I was there in 1983 to speak to Hagoyin Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zechasag Dibracha. And one of the things I heard from him is that there is one indispensable condition for Kanos. Namely, Bikanos Kinosi Bisechon, they have to be 100% Lashem Shamayim. And the only one who's permitted to have that kind of Kanos is one who has that 100% Lashem Shamayim. And an Ava for Klal Yisrael, which is unreserved, unconditional, 1000%. So if one has a total Avas Yisrael, then one can be a Kanoi, and that Kanoi will be the Shem Shamayim. The Gemara Sanhedrin describes how Moshe couldn't handle the situation. Zimri, with all of his effrontery, appears before Moshe with the non-Jewish in tow, and unabashedly asked him, as I mentioned earlier, is she permitted to me or not? And if not, who gave you a dispensation to marry the daughter of Yisrael? He attacked Moshe in the most personal way imaginable. And Moshe, realizing that he had the gear, stepped out of the picture. And, as I said, the kanois that was displayed by Pinchas was considered to be an appropriate kind of kanois. Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself testifies, b'kanois kinosi b'seichom, that he's worthy of that level of kanois, of that level of zealotry. I want to perhaps now just in summary share with you some of my own perspectives on the matter regarding kanois. Yes, Pinchas killed Zimri because he demonstrated unconscionable behavior, but the Gemara says halacha v'ein marim kein. Even though the response of Pinchas was the correct one, we don't publicly teach that that's the way to deal with such a situation. In order for one to be a genuine kanoi, as I said earlier in the name of Agoyin Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, one has to operate from a vantage point of absolute 100% avas Yisrael. The line separating an act of zealousness from an act of ego and impulsive impetuosity is a very thin one. Is there a basis for this sort of kanois today? They say about Rav Amram Blau, Zecheinu Livracha, he lay down on the streets of Yerushalayim to prevent traffic on Shabbos. Was that Lashem Shamayim? A vivid proof of his sincerity was the fact the same police who arrested him week after week attended his levaya and wept for a man of enormous integrity. Unfortunately, today the kanois is often a travesty of authentic zeal for Hashem's Torah. Rather than creating an environment where Torah observance will increase and people will be brought back to Hashem Yisbarach, they have generated a tidal wave of hatred for everything and everyone. And whatever a Torah Jew epitomizes, misguided kanois has given the media plenty of fodder. Chazal say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Luchos, parallels the first commandment on the second side, Lo Tirtach. If you want to know Hashem Yisbarach, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you won't engage in murder. Humiliating someone is tantamount to murder. Zealotry of today, vandalism of property, harming people, will not lead to a greater love of Hashem Yisbarach and His mitzvahs. Shooting bleach or fish oil on women's clothing will not make a woman feel like a bat melech, a king's daughter wants to preserve her dignity and modesty. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, a close chaver of mine, who lived in Eretz Yisrael for many years. The only thing you have to be concerned about is Kitzonim and Kitzoniyut, because they feel the ends justify the means, and they only have one halachic principle that they utilize, called the Olam Gova. Many of the people who demonstrate aggressive tendencies are not necessarily involved in Limud HaTorah, and their entire Hashkafas Olam is based on hatred of anyone who differs from them. The target of their hatred often are secular Jews, but their bows are even tauter when they direct their venom at religious Jews who have different Hashkafas than they do. The Rambam writes, Mehosayich u'machivayich mimech yetzeyu. We are our own worst enemies. In the Igros HaRambam, Mehosayich u'machivayich mimech yetzeyu. Sometimes I wonder to myself that we, Klal Yisrael, Kilu, have no enemies surrounding us. We are living in halcyon environment, neither Iran nor Syria. And therefore we've decided in our state of peace to kill ourselves with machlokes and kanos. The Belzerov, the president, Rabbi Yisrochel Dei Rekech Shlita, on Chanukah in front of thousands of people said, and I quote, if there are those in our generation who believe that Milchama and Kanos is the way to spread the aura of Yahadus of Judaism, they're grossly mistaken. They're operating under the egregious era. So I want to go back now to what I started earlier, the dialogue between Yaakov Avinu. This I heard from my Abayim many, many years ago. I heard from Rav Nissim Alpert at Atal Bibracha, and he was medayik in the Psukim as we were medayik a few moments ago. Namely, Yaakov Avinu did not respond to their argument of Achzeinu Yaseh Sachliseinu. That was the argument that they presented. Should Yaakov have responded to that? And he was medayik, and the same diak I also heard from Hagoyin Rav Nevinsol Shlita, the same diak was made by Hagoyin Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. Many have the diak in the Lashon of the Pasuk. Achzeinu Yaseh Sachliseinu. What is the Tanai to Kanos, as we mentioned earlier? Avas Hashem, Kino Kul L'Shem Shamayim. And here, somehow, Chazal see in the language, and Yaakov Avinu saw that, that what do they say? Usually when a person has a particular kanois he's going to display, he has some idea which lies behind the kanois. Some philosophic, ideological idea, some rayon amok that motivates him. But often a person's mouth will belie and reveal where he's at. And here, by virtue of the fact that the brother said, Hachzeinu Yaseh Sachoseinu, Yaakov saw no longer any reason to respond. Because if the engine that drove their behavior was Kina Tahira Hashem Isbarach, so why do they say Achoseinu? Unless it would have been Stamanaira, anybody else? When it comes to B'nai Levi, there the Torah says, does not identify the personalities. V'nei Ish V'nei Yisrael Bo, we mentioned earlier. They are not identified. We don't know that we're talking about Zimri, Anofi, Abishem, of Yisrael. Three times the Torah mentions Ish Yisrael. Apparently to Pinchas there was no distinction between Stam Ish Yisrael and Anofi Shevet. Kinas Hashem is the only item that motivates him. But because the Shvatim who were great tzaddikim, but because their motivation was Achzeinu Yaseh Sachoseinu, something was missing. Epis felt. And as a result, Yaakov Avinu did not respond. I want to end with a story that's etched in my memory. My Rebbe, Hagoyin HaTzadik Rav Nissim Alpert Zechatzal Dibracha, was a Rav of the Aguda Shul in the Five Towns. At the same time, was a Rosh Kollel, a Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chana. Towards the end of his life, a few months before his Petira, an incident occurred. He was invited to speak at the 50th yahrzeit commemoration for Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Kuf Zatzal. There were other speakers who were going to be there as well. Each one was going to take a different aspect of Rav Kook and discuss it. One of the speakers was Hagoyin HaTzadik Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal as well. And they would take a different aspect of Rav Kook and discuss it. So Rav Nissim Alpert received the call from one of the Gedolei Yisrael, great Rosh Hashiva, and this Gadol criticized Rav Nissim Alpert for agreeing to speak at a venue where he would extol the Torah of Rav Kook. Because he felt, das nit genun za ashkofa. It's not our ashkofa. Rav Nissim Alpert was very, very sick already at the time. Very ill. And he told this great Rosh Hashiva, who was a very close chavar of his, Yidid nefesh, love me up. Leave me alone. I need schusim. And perhaps the greatest schusim of Rav Kook's Avos Yisrael will benefit me in this hour of unbelievable tzorech that I have. And I heard from my Rebbe, Nissim Albert Zatzal, a number of times. That was the shita of his Rebbe Muvok, Hagoyin, the Baal Igus Meisher, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, as well as other Gedolim. They revered Rav Kook as an Odom Godol Me'ed. They were different than Ashkafa. They didn't completely agree with his Ashkafa in a number of areas, but it did not take away, did not detract from the godliness of a person. Kishem Shepasufeim and Roshavim, Tach Deoseim and Roshavos, Gedolei Yisrael, when Kanoim are not involved, even though they have different Veltshang, different Ashkafas, different perspectives, that does not in any way intervene or interfere or impugn their ability to have their cheres and to show kavod for other Gedolei Yisrael. So unfortunately, here in Eretz Yisrael, we have Gedolim of different stripes, and my Rabbein taught me, and my parents, Aleihem HaShalom, also taught me, when there's a Levaya, I go to all the Levayas. It doesn't make a difference to me what particular stream they come from, whether it's more to the right, more to the middle, even a bit to the left. A Gadol B'Yisrael to me is a Gadol B'Yisrael. Halavai, we should be zochet to absorb that yisod, that notion. And of course, Chazal tells the Gemara at the end of the Tainis, Kol HaMisabar Yushalayim Zoche V'Roah B'Simchasa. And every single Jew has a chelek, b'sein chol keila b'sar asecha. Halavai, we should only show ahava and the acheret and kavod for every single Jew, irrespective of their hashkafa, because we're not holding yet by madregas where we have the right to be kanoim. The Hashem Yisbarach had tainus on Elio HaNavi. Mi lanu gadol Elio HaNavi. Halavai, we should focus on Avas Kol Abrios, and that's what Hashem Yisbarach wants from us, that Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, in that schus, that we show Ava and Kavod and the Acheretz and go out of our way to help others. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocher to be in Beit HaMikdash and be as Mashiach Sikeinu, and have your name.